flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, into hour number two of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you be a part of the radio broadcast at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's the number to be a part of the broadcast this AM. If you'd like to do so, we'd certainly love to have you. It is 7:01 in the AM. Scratch that. Yeah, 7:01 in the AM. You got less than 59 minutes.
What? It threw you that you're getting to it so fast? Is that what it was?
I rapid looked up at the clock, and it said 7:01:05. And for some reason, my brain said 50. And I'm like, I'll do that thing where you're like really funny, and you hold off till 7:02 right now. And I was going to do that, but, you know.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Because if I interrupted you to a certain amount, then you would actually get to do what you were trying to do. So that would be me rambling for or talking, which is what, you know, I get paid less to do for, you know, for like, I don't know, another 10 seconds or so that you could do the thing that you wanted to do, because that would be teamwork, and I'm not about that.
7:02 in the morning. You have 58 minutes till you got to get to the office, get settled in, reply to those passive aggressive emails from the boss that for some reason thinks that you should have replied at 8:00 last night, but you weren't doing that. You were watching college basketball. You were watching NHL hockey, and you were doing all of that because you're a big sports guy, a big sports gal. And if you're a big sports guy, a big sports gal, you're going to talk about sports when you get to the office. And if you're going to talk about sports when you get to the office, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, you're in the right place because we do this. I'm pretty excited about Fight Club tomorrow. I got my favorite event of the year this weekend. Saturday night, the Royal Rumble.
It's my favorite too, but the bad part is it starts at 6:00.
It's
really a problem for me.
The actual events, the actual match is going to be starting like 7 on the dot, dude.
No. It starts at 6.
Are they opening with the Rumble?
I don't know.
No, I'm saying the actual Rumble is going to start at like 7:00. Because there's only, what, like a couple other fights on this card?
Oh, no, there are more than that.
Okay.
Yeah. There are championship matches. There are 2 out of 3 falls matches. There are a lot more matches than you seem to to think.
We'll find out tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. when we do Fight Club with the great Milonzo. Talk a little pro wrestling on the show. Looking forward to it. But
we got we'll just spend the entire time talking about Conor McGregor running for whatever in Ireland.
What if, and hear me out, we don't do that.
We're probably not going to do that.
That's probably for the best. Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top three sports stories you need to know. Item number one. The NFL coaching carousel has largely slowed down as we had a host of brand new head coaches introduced earlier this week. Liam Cohen in Jacksonville was introduced. We're going to be talking about him coming up in a few minutes. Pete Carroll, the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, was introduced. We're going to be talking about him later on in the show. Aaron Glenn, new head coach of the New York Jets, was introduced this week. We're going to be talking about him later in the show. You know who was not introduced as a new head coach? Whoever is going to be the poor, unfortunate soul that is going to be the head coach of my New Orleans Saints, the only remaining NFL team that does not have a head coach.
They have to. Someone has to coach it, right?
I mean, at this point, Gale, call me. If you're going to pay somebody, you know, $22 million a year to suck, I'll do it for half that.
Could they have, like, a player coach?
Who would player? Taysom, you want to be the coach next year? You're 35 and your knee exploded. You're cooked. You want to be the guy?
Is he still there? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, technically.
Okay, yeah, why not?
I mean, why not? Anyway, you know who it won't be, and this is not a Saints topic. This is actually an NFL coaching carousel story, but I got to lead with that. Mike McCarthy will not be the head coach. He informed the media yesterday that he is elected instead... Here's how bad it is. Mike McCarthy, if there was one guy out there that should want the opportunity to jump into a job and prove that what happened at his last stop was not on him, it should be Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy was the leading candidate to become the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints and said, "Nah, I'm good. He's going to sit out next year."
I don't believe it.
He has made until next year.
I believe he's the next coach of the Saints.
No, he's not. Straight up, yeah, said yesterday he's out. Canceled his meeting with the Saints that he was set to have this week.
It's a money thing. He's going to be the coach. He knows that they have no other true candidates. So he said he's doing what the Jags guy did.
Just gonna ghost them for a day or two.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Let them get up in their feelings. No, I'm telling you.
Look at you really considering it.
No, I'm not.
Okay, we'll
see.
The
dude is out. I'll tell you who the guy's going to be now. I already know who the next head coach is going to be.
You know?
Yeah. It's going to be Kellen Moore. I guarantee it. It's going to be Kellen Moore, a dude that has been fighting for a hot minute now to get his opportunity, thought it was going to be with the Cowboys, right? Because he's a Jerry guy, but Jerry decided to go with Brian Schottenheimer, and I think it's because he can get away with paying less to Brian Schottenheimer than he would have had to pay to Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore is the last name out there that has any sort of maybe he can do it. Oh, because, part of item number one, Cliff Kingsbury said no to the New Orleans Saints yesterday. The OC at Washington was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to stay up here in D.C. and be the OC rather than be the HC in the NO. I'm out. I'm good. No, thank you. So he pulled his name from the report. It's going to be Kellen Moore because he's just the only guy left that has any weight to him at this point. But there were some other moves that got announced yesterday besides those two cats. The other one, and I am actually quite excited about this one, Chuck Pagano is back into coaching. Chucky P has signed on to become the new secondary coach with the Baltimore Ravens. The 64-year-old has been retired for 4 years. Obviously, he was the head coach at Indy, diagnosed with cancer, had to step away in the midst of the season in order to go through treatment. Ultimately did make his return before retiring again 4 years ago, has decided he wants back in. Now, I will acknowledge that part of the reason I'm excited about this is because Pagano has been phenomenal on the McAfee pod. He's just fun. He's just a guy. He's just a dude. And it's great.
He's not what you expected him to be.
Not at all.
And maybe hanging with those guys does that to you. But yeah, I always took him as straight laced and probably no sense of humor. He's not that guy.
He's not. He's fun.
Watch him play VR for the first time. That was hilarious.
It's also fun because there are spots in the show where you can see him kind of being like a little uncomfortable. But like coming out of a shell, it's great. I'm a big Chuck Pagano fan, so I'm excited to see this play out. All right, let's get to item number two. We're turning our attention to basketball. You know, it's a slow turn, it's a slow burn, but we are paying attention to basketball. We are paying attention to college basketball, which we're going to come to here in just a minute from right now. We're also obviously paying attention to the National Basketball Association. There was a bit of big news yesterday, as the Sacramento Kings have apparently opened up trade talks for all-star De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox right now, a season in the league, averaging 25.2, 6.2, and is shooting 47% from the field right now. Played his entire 8-year career so far in Sacramento, ranks 4th in career points in Kings history. The only names he trails right now, Oscar Robertson, Jack Twyman, and Mitch Richmond for the Kings right now. Pretty good list of dudes to be chasing down. He won't be chasing them down in Sacramento. Apparently, De'Aaron Fox has indicated to the Kings that when his contract is up next year, he does not want to stay with that team anymore. He wants out. Why do I care, Rob? I'll tell you why you care. The reason you care is because they had a pair of all-stars on that team. Not only did they have De'Aaron Fox on that team, but they had Tyrese Halliburton on that team. Those two guys played together. And at one point, there was a little bit of locker room lack of cohesion, we'll call it. And the Kings decided to send Tyrese Halliburton away and keep De'Aaron Fox and build the future around him. Well, Tyrese Halliburton is up in Indy right now, and the Pacers are getting hot with a capital on the front. On the flip side, while the Kings are actually playing a little bit better ball, it's been rough around De'Aaron Fox since Halliburton left. They had a string of bad ball. They are just 1.5 games up on the Golden State Warriors for the last play-in spot in the West. They fired their head coach Mike Brown last month as the team was kind of falling short of expectations. Now, granted, since then, they brought up Doug Christie as the interim. They've won 11 of their past 15.
How many times has Mike Brown been fired?
A lot. A lot. More than me from all my jobs combined, for whatever that's worth. It's been tumultuous in Sacramento, a team that you will remember they were kind of one of those teams that America adopted as a plucky underdog the last couple of years, and all of a sudden, the wheels are coming off in Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox is going to end up somewhere. Now, the report right now is that he's most interested in landing with Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio under Pops, and I'm going to tell you, I've been saying for a while, I think that this Spurs team is a piece or two away from being exceptionally good. De'Aaron Fox might be that piece. De'Aaron Fox lined up with Wemby opens the floor up for a big man who's got some range in him too. Victor Wembanyama, as much as the three-point epidemic may or may not be a problem in the NBA, Victor Wembanyama is kind of the exception to the rule of I don't want 7-footers lifting ranged shots. Wemby's kind of got a shot on him a little bit. You put De'Aaron Fox out there and open up the floor, that might be a little bit scary. Could be scary to the rest of the league. We'll keep an eye as we kind of pick up our NBA coverage moving forward. But we got to get to item number three. 71-60, the Georgia Bulldogs knock off the South Carolina Gamecocks last night. The Cocks now 10-11. They are 0-8 in Southeastern Conference play after the L. Only two Gamecocks in double figures last night. Colin Murray Bowles had 18 as a starter. Jamari Thomas had 19 as a bench reserve player. Here's the worst part. No other Gamecock had more than 9. Arden Conyers had 9 last night. Yeah, had 6 out of Zach Davis, 6 out of Nick Pringle. And that was just about it. 18 for Murray Boyles, 19 for Jamari Thomas. The entire rest of the team combined scored 23. The Gamecocks shot 41% from the floor, 4 of 17 for 23.5% from range. They also turned the ball over 17 times. I told you a week ago, I'm going to tell you again now. I know there's some injuries that this team has had to deal with, but the reality is this, you don't have a point guard. For whatever reason, however it came about, this team this year was put together without a ball handler. And if you don't have a ball handler, you can't win. It is not that complicated. Like, this is, I've seen all the debates, all the discussions about, you know, what's next, how do we handle it, whatever. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You just don't have a one. And if you don't have a one, especially this year in the Southeastern Conference, if you don't have a one, you don't have anything. You don't have a one. It really is simple. You can lean on Pringle in the paint. Here's the problem. I need a point guard that can pull the defense out so I can get it in there. Teams have started to collapse the paint around Nick Pringle and remove him as a threat. And he's a good inside facilitator, but they have removed him as a threat to score the basketball. They have removed him as a threat to distribute the basketball inside. And it has created a world where this team just can't win. You take that L. Guess what? You got four straight against top 25 SEC teams. You got A&M on the first. Then you're at Rupp Arena to take on Kentucky a week later. Then 4 days later, back to the crib to take on a good Ole Miss team. And then you're on the road down in Gainesville to take on a Florida team that had their worst game of the regular season against you a few days ago and still sniped you when it was clutch time. And it doesn't get any easier down the stretch. After that Florida game, at LSU, back home for Texas, at number 20 Missouri, back home for Arkansas, then you're on the road at Georgia, or back home for Georgia, and you wrap it up on the road at number 10, number 8 Tennessee on March 8th. I said a week ago, and it made me sick to say it for you Gamecock fans that are listening, this team might not win a Southeastern Conference game. I am afraid to tell you, that's not a dark humor joke anymore. That's a realistic possibility. You don't have anybody that can move the ball. You don't have anybody that can flip the court. You don't have anybody that can stretch a defense. And if you're missing those things, I think you're cooked. On one hand, it'd be nice to look at this team and go, look, they got one problem. They're lacking a point guard. They had some transfers. They got some injuries. Maybe the guy that could be that guy isn't available to them for one reason or the next. However we ended up here, if you don't have a one, then the one thing you can say with any level of definitiveness is you didn't build any depth either. You got 0 points. You don't even have a reservist point guard that you can bring in to try to plug the leak for a little while. And while I am still, and I am not coming off the Lamont Paris train, I'm still a fan. I think he can be the guy. If he put me together a roster for this year, a year after the Gamecocks had one of the better men's basketball seasons they've had in a while, much like Shane Beamer, the vibes were real high for this team. I come out the next year, and yeah, you had Gigi, and that helped out a lot, and all those fun little extra factors. But you entered this season knowing you didn't have a point guard, or knowing, if nothing else, that you had no depth at the position to carry you if something was to happen. That's a problem. This team might not win a conference game. Go from one to the full other side of the spectrum. That's rough, my dudes. Take a break. Come back here in just a minute. Got a lot to get to on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to jump on board. Now is a wonderful opportunity to do it. I can't decide if this is a genuine take or if this is a hot take from Danny Cannell. Now, I'm going to say this with all due respect to Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell, of course, a former...
Why do you have to give him respect?
Because in case I'm wrong, right? If I make a statement about somebody, and I say with my observations, I have surmised that, I acknowledge that, I could very well be wrong. That happens like 2-3 times a year. I surmise that just in his, you know, his commentary, his takes, whatever, that former Florida State quarterback Danny Cannell has aspirations. And the aspirations that I surmise that Danny Cannell has is to be the ACC's version of Paul Feinbaum. And while I don't think it's going to work, because, just again, observation from doing this for 17 years, ACC fans don't care about their conference the way that SEC fans do. Feinbaum's whole shtick only works because he plays to the lowest common denominator of SEC fans who have a passion, love, whatever you want to call it, for their conference that I don't think, honestly, any other conferences share. I don't think the Big Ten shares it. I think the only time you hear of Big Ten unity is when it's Big Ten versus SEC. That's really the only time you hear it. I certainly don't think the ACC cares. I've never heard Clemson fans talking about how great the conference they're in is. In fact, quite the opposite, by and large. Especially at a point in time when Danny Cannell's school, Florida State, Clemson, they're actively trying to find ways out of this conference. But, bless his heart, I think he's trying anyway. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe everything Danny Cannell is saying is genuine, legitimate. He truly does believe that the ACC deserves every bit of respect as the SEC. I don't know. But yesterday, Danny Cannell was on the CBS College Football Podcast. And he was asked, if you were in charge, what change after seeing this year play out, after seeing the inaugural 12-team college football playoff, what one major change would you make? And this was his answer. So Cannell says, effectively, let's split college football into two separate divisions, right? You have the top 60 teams over here. You have everybody else over there. Now, my immediate reaction to that is like, I don't love it. I also don't hate it. In fact, if anything, it's kind of been my assumption to some degree that that's where we're heading anyway, right? That has been the whole, it's going to end up being the B1G, the SEC, and the EEC, the Everybody Else Conference, which if you've been listening to this show during conference expansion and realignment, you have heard me say that a number of times, that I believe firmly the EEC is on the horizon. And frankly, I think it's going to end up being the Big 12 that is going to ultimately become the big Everybody Else Conference. The Big 10, when the ACC dies, and I do think this is years down the road, because at this point, with the army of attorneys that specifically Florida State, but Florida State and Clemson have both put together over the last year plus in trying to find an out from the ACC, with the army of attorneys that these two schools have put together, I think if there was a way out, they would have started to exploit it. Or at least they would have started the conversation underhandedly to make the move to at least float the idea and see who else might be willing to follow them down whatever path that might be. But you'll notice we haven't really heard that. Now, granted, we kind of knew that once, and I you know, we called this shot. This shouldn't shock you. We kind of knew that once football season started, that all that was going to go under the bridge because those schools were going to want to dial in on making sure that they were giving themselves preseason when Florida State and Clemson both had playoff aspirations, that they were kind of giving themselves the best opportunity to, you know, not get screwed over. Who knows if there was going to be a situation where if one or the other was going to be potentially in an at-large bid quest and they needed the committee to look favorably upon them, being in the midst of actively trying to undermine a conference which makes up a large, not largest or anywhere close to it, but large part of the whole playoff system, not going to garner you a lot of favor in that room. And if you need an at-large bid, if you need the head nods to get an at-large bid, being right in the middle of actively trying to dismantle the system that pays those people, probably not a great look, right? And we haven't heard anything since then. But I think when the ACC is done, because I don't see anything happening between now and when either Clemson and Florida State find the way out or win a lawsuit to get out, or they just are obligated to wait until the grant of rights agreement runs up, and assuming that the Big Ten and the SEC are open for business at that point, welcome them in, the Big 12 is going to be making headway. I think they're the EEC. So Connell's idea, if he was in charge, is take college football, split it into two divisions. You put the big players over here. That would be the B1G. That would be the SEC. That would probably be the Big 12, whatever's left of the ACC and Notre Dame. And then you take everybody else, the Mountain West Conference, the Sun Belt, et cetera, and you put them over here. And you have two separate divisions. You have the upper division and you have the lower division. But what Connell has proposed here, or at least is echoing, maybe it's not his idea, but he is echoing it. And whether you like it or not, he is a talking head in this industry, is a promotion relegation system that says the top 4, 5, 6, 10 teams of the lower division would jump up the next year and replace the bottom 4, 5, 6, 10 teams of the upper division. So if you ended up being considered one of the bottom teams in the upper league, you would drop down. And if you were one of the top teams in the lower league, you would move up. Now, that works, say, in European soccer. It not just works in European soccer, but it thrives. And as much as some of you hate the concept because, oh no, European stuff, bad, it works over there because it does not create a situation. And this is professional. And I think at the end of that, you kind of heard Danny Connell suggesting that you take college football and you make it a professional league just played by college football programs. It works in the professional level because if you drop down a level in European soccer, everything that comes along with the benefits of being in a higher level also go away too. You get less money by being on TV. You get less money on road trips. Fans, you're going to have less fans that travel to come see you. You're going to travel to big time destinations less often. And so there is an incentive, unlike, say, in the National Football League, there is an incentive for owners to actively work to make their team good, right? As you can see by the Dallas Cowboys and all we've talked about with them for the past couple of days, there's no incentive for NFL teams, NBA teams, MLB teams to make their team good. There's no incentives. They don't get hurt all that bad. Maybe they lose some gate revenue. Maybe they lose some merchandise revenue. But as you can see by the Oakland Athletics, you can actually benefit by making your team stink. So Connell says promotion relegation system, two tiers of college football, contracts that players must honor, contracts that schools must honor to the players. If you are best in the bottom league, you move up. If you're worst in the top league, you move down. I don't have an issue with that, to be honest with you. My gut reaction was like, I should hate this. The more I listened to it, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you know what? I don't know that we have any other options at this point. Because college football has a ruling class at the top. And that ruling class right now, it's the B1G. I suspect that over the next couple of years, the SEC is going to find its way back up into that discussion. There is a ruling class, and everybody is dropped off. And I don't know how to do anything about that other than just have a lower level of football and hope that you can get fans interested in it, right? Have a second national championship for the lower level and hope that fans are interested in that. I think contracts are a no-brainer and a must, right? You can't have what you had with that kid that transferred for Xavier Lucas, that transferred from Wisconsin to Miami and allegedly, according to Wisconsin, broke a two-year NIL deal to do it while he's saying, no, I didn't break it. That was a contract signed as a football member of Wisconsin, and I'm not that anymore. I unenrolled, and I just re-enrolled, and now I'm playing football elsewhere. I think Connell is like, in a weird way, pointed in the right direction. I just don't know outside of contracts what else we can do if you feel football is broken at this point. I think we also just have to recognize that it's always going to be the haves and the have-nots. And if you're a have-not, you better just enjoy it for what it is. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I genuinely appreciate effort. Not everybody has that extra effort to give. And when somebody is in a spot where they have a lot to do, right? You just got a lot going on. Sometimes extra effort might be a little tough to wrangle up. I appreciate people making an effort. I tell this to the wife all the time. She got a big girl job. She got a real job. She's got big time responsibilities, right? She told me something last night.
Ugh.
I know, it's the worst. She told me something last night. I can't say specifically what it is, great one, but something that she is directly responsible for and taking care of is going to be featured in a very prominent way in Times Square in New York City. It's awesome. But that's the level of responsibility that she has at her job. And it's a lot. And so I go out of my way to ensure whenever she makes an effort for me, for us, that I say, hey, I know that effort is, it's something you gotta reach down, you gotta find, you gotta give, right? Like it's called giving an effort because you have to give an effort. And I appreciate that when that happens. Liam Cohen is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked quite a bit about him yesterday. Because of that. Because of the creepiest Duval that has ever been Duval'd.
I just realized what it sounds like. They're here.
For sure. Okay. It was not a good first look for Liam Cohen. First time to get at the podium as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars and speak to the gross people of Jacksonville, Florida. That's mean. They're not gross. They just elect to live in an awful, awful place on purpose, and I don't understand it. So, first time he gets the opportunity.
Think you'll let it go eventually?
No. That place sucks.
Okay. How long has it been?
5 years.
Okay, maybe at the decade mark. Maybe it'll ease a little.
5 years and 1 month, roughly.
Wow, never mind.
Jacksonville sucks. I hate it.
You're counting months.
Every fiber of my being, that place stinks. Anyway, point is, but I don't dislike the Jags, for the record. I actually kind of like the Jags. Kind of got a soft spot for the Jags. I just hate Jacksonville and everything about it, maybe except the Jags. Anyway, point here is, he got the opportunity to speak to Jags fans for the first time. And the Jags are one of those teams that they've got a little bit of optimism, right? The folks down there believe, as I do, that Trevor Lawrence can absolutely be a franchise quarterback. He just needs the right guys, and they have not given him that. They believe they've got the talent, and I don't believe that they're wrong. Little upgrade at wide receiver isn't going to hurt you. But they've got on the defensive side of the ball probably an underappreciated amount of talent. First time to get up there and speak into the podium and talk to the people of Jacksonville, and he drops not ideal. Now, I want you to know that while I sound, and ordinarily am, quite sarcastic, I'm actually not being sarcastic about this. One of the things that I look for in a head coach, and I said this yesterday, I'll say it again tomorrow, and I'll say it for the rest of as long as I believe it, which is probably going to be a very long time. One of the things that I'm looking for in a head coach is a coach who understands culture, who understands the importance of culture, and who recognizes that it is good to have a good locker room culture. It is also important to have a reflection of the community that your team and your logo represent. And while some teams represent markedly larger communities than others, every team represents a community. People who are from the place that is in the name of your team care. They want it to be a reflection of them. I almost walked away. This is very true. Keegan's in the chat on our live chat, which you can watch at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on Facebook, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch, because I'm a millennial. I make social media videos now. I had a battle of consciousness a couple of years ago because the owner of my team was spending team money in order to provide free legal advice to a particular religious group in New Orleans who had been caught acting unethically and illegally. And she helped them out. And I got to tell you, it is more than after Katrina when they were talking about moving the team to San Antonio, more than all the years that my team has actively sabotaged itself. I genuinely had a crisis of character of, I don't think I can support this team anymore. Okay? I don't know if I can do it anymore. Because that does not only does that not reflect who I am and who I want to be viewed as, but actively quite the opposite. That is the opposite of what I wanted to be viewed as and seen. Whenever I wear my Florida Lee outside of the house, I don't want people to look at me and think that guy supports that. Quite the opposite. Culture and representation of the people who love to wear your logo matters. And so when Liam Cohen took to the mic and dropped, which is not how that goes, Jags fans were, I think, appreciatively underappreciative of it yesterday. But I am also a fan of effort. And Liam Cohen, and this is, I acknowledge that is a dumb thing. It is a little thing. It is something that most everybody would look at and say, who cares, right? Move on. You got bigger fish to fry. You're the head coach of an NFL franchise. Yesterday, Liam Cohen was making his rounds around the Jacksonville facility. And he was speaking with a guy on Twitter who happened to be there, and he got the opportunity to have a very brief in passing conversation with Liam Cohen. And this happened. Well, that's awful. Okay, I don't know why that audio's awful, but effectively, a podcaster said, "Hey, coach, I'm sure you've been working."
That's exactly what it sounds like when you put your hand over the microphone, by the way.
"Hey, coach, I see you have a good one to do. Can I get one, please?"
And
welcome to 1960s AM radio.
Right? Liam Cohen, I wish I had better. I'll see if I can find the better audio of it. But Liam Cohen reached down deep. He went 10 to the sand, and he said with his chest, "Duval." He did it the right way. He did it in a way. He did it in a way that the Jacksonville fan base kind of reacted to, kind of went, okay. And now it may be very simple. It may be as simple as somebody from the Jags PR saw that he was getting roasted on social media and said, "Coach, we need to talk to you for 5 minutes. Hey, man, next time you get the opportunity, we need you to lean into it. The emphasis is on the do, not the fall."
Oh, come on. You know, it was one of those things where you think something's going to be cool and funny and you do it and it's not. I said, because the look on his face and everything when he did it, he thought it was going to be funny, and it wasn't. And you can't immediately fix that. You got to wait a little while and then do it better.
See, I think he just didn't know what he was doing. I don't attribute.
Look at the look on his face. He thought that was going to be funny.
No, I think he was leaning into it, and I think he was saying, "Hey, this is y'all's thing. I want you to see that I'm doing your thing." He just did it real bad. So they pull him off to the side.
We're just going to disagree vehemently on this.
They pull him off to the side. After. So you think he got up there the very first time?
Yeah, I think he was. Look at the look on his face. He got in there and he got all.
The very first time.
He was messing around.
That he got the opportunity as the head coach of an NFL team that is in trouble right now to speak to his fans. You think he mocked their thing?
He didn't mock. He was joking around. And trying to be funny, and it didn't work.
What was the joke?
You know, I think that all the time. When you say some things, when I say some things, when anyone says some things, sometimes we think something is funny, and it doesn't end up being funny. And sometimes you do something because you think it's funny, and there's no thought behind it. Just boom, you just do it.
I think you are placing your mentality on him. I think he tried to do their thing.
I think you're placing your mentality on him.
I think he tried to do their thing to show them that I am one of you.
I think
he tried to do their thing to show that he is already ingratiating himself into the Jacksonville mentality, the Jacksonville community,
Dude
and
was,
it failed.
Dude was joking but, around, and more proof of what you say about Jacksonville and unfortunately the world is people don't have a sense of humor. He was messing around, and now he has to come back and fix it because some people were offended. But, I mean, that sound cut's going to live forever,
no,
especially if he does bad.
I don't think anyone was offended. I think that they looked and they went, "That's not right. That's not how that is."
You just said that you thought that some people there got to him and told him he needed to do it again.
Correct.
Why would they do that unless they were offended
because
about the way he did it?
The difference between laughing at somebody and being offended by somebody, right? Like, I think there's a lot of people who think that if you have a criticism or anything, you're just offended. You're a hater. Most people aren't that quick to being offended. They just go, "That's dumb," or "That's bad. I'm not offended. That's just a bad thing." I think my opinion, and then I'll tell you the point that I'm driving at here. My opinion is this. My opinion is he got to the mic his first time to speak to the people of Jacksonville, and he tried to do their thing to show that, "Hey, look, I want to be one of you. I want to represent you. I want to do your thing." And he screwed it up. But he got the opportunity to correct it. He got the opportunity to talk to somebody, a podcaster from the Ville, and he leaned into not just getting it right, but getting it right and saying it with his whole chest. Why is that a big deal? Not because he finally did Duval, correct?
So is it a big deal because he took advice from a podcaster?
No, it's a big deal because he recognized it. And instead of just going, look, I did it, it's done, it's over, whatever, he said, or at least I took it as inferring what happened here, he said, this is something that the people of Duval have a lot of pride in. They make the shirts, they make the hats, they wear it, they scream it at the games. It matters to them. That would be like the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints at his intro press conference grabbing the mic and going, "Hootay!" We'd all go, "That's not it. That's not our thing. That's bad. That's wrong." And we would look and go, "How did? If you can't get that right,
dude,
so
dude, you'd be offended."
I wouldn't be offended.
You looked offended right there when you said it.
I wouldn't be offended. I would go, the fact that you don't know, like, the core thing, like, the thing that fans say.
So you'd be angry.
Makes me wonder if you are going to be able to pay attention to all of the little things that I need you to pay attention to be a successful head coach. And the fact that he, whether it was by him or the Jags PR team or his PR team or whatever, the fact that he saw the blowback, he heard the blowback, he went, he understood it, he learned the thing, and he turned around and made a point to get it right. I am a believer of a handful of philosophies, and one of those philosophies is, even though I acknowledge that I come up short of this probably more often than I am proud to admit, one of the things that I believe is true is how you do anything is how you do everything. If you are a person that when I interact with you, gets the details wrong, forgets things, doesn't do the little stuff, doesn't, if we got 50 things to do and 47 of them are little things and you go straight to doing the big three things and you kind of put the little things on the back burner, I now know you're the kind of person who puts things on the back burner. I'm that person, so that we're clear. Like, I'm that person for sure. It's a problem. It is something I'm actively working on. But the fact that within 24 hours, he went, he figured it out, he got it right, he came back, and he made sure to find a place and a person that he could show, hey guys, I got your thing right. I heard you, I understand your concerns, I got your criticisms, and now I have it right. If you're the person who is willing to take the time to circle back around and get that right, you're a person I have a little bit more trust in to get the job done. And I gotta tell you, Liam Cohen, in just a couple of days, went from a dude that I want to be successful if for no other reason than Trevor Lawrence. If for no other reason. And even if it's selfishly. If Trevor Lawrence goes out there and starts kicking ass, now all of a sudden I got a bunch more NFL fans here in the market. I got a bunch of reasons to keep talking football this offseason. So he went from, not even in one day, he went from a 7-second clip from his intro press conference where I was going, I don't know, man, like this guy just, he doesn't put off that head coaching aura that I'm looking for. And 1 7-second clip later, I'm like, there it is. That's the guy that cared enough to get it.
Can you give me an example of this head coaching aura thing?
Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell might be the definition.
All right, he's
Andy Reid.
Okay.
Andy Reid has that head coaching aura. I'll give you a guy who has it. And again, it's
give,
not.
Give me a losing team, but the head coach has that aura.
A losing team that the head coach has the aura. I'll give you a team that I just got onto not terribly long ago for firing a head coach without giving him a chance that has that aura. Las Vegas Raiders. I think they had a guy and Antonio Pierce that has that aura, and they bumped on from him after a single year where they gave him nothing to work with to go get Pete Carroll. And for the record,
does Pete Carroll have that aura?
Pete Carroll does have that aura. But again, I do want to point out that aura, that head coaching feel, if you will, is not like you have to be stern and gruff and angry and biting kneecaps. Andy Reid doesn't have that. Andy Reid shows up on Christmas Day games dressed as Santa Claus, handing out cheeseburgers for presents. But what do you see when that man walks in the room? The team just whoop, collapses around him. That's a leader. That's a guy. I didn't see it out of him. And I'm not saying I'm suddenly like, okay, that's it. Liam Cohen's going to be a great head coach. I'm saying I have a little more faith and optimism that maybe he's the guy to save Trevor's team now than I did 24 hours ago. Sports Flash.
South Carolina Gamecocks fell to 0-8 in SEC play with a 71-60 loss on the road at Georgia last night. Gamecocks shot 41% from the floor, but were just 4 of 17 from 3 and turned the ball over 17 times. The only players who reached double digits were Colin Murray-Boyles with 18 and Jamari Thomas with 19. The rest of the team scored 23 combined. It's hard to win when you do that. Sacramento Kings are open to trading all-star De'Aaron Fox before the February 6th deadline. Fox has 1 year left on his contract, but has made it clear he has no intention to commented that he has no intention to commit to the team. Sources report that Fox is interested in joining the San Antonio Spurs. Tune in today at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins take on Sanford Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Sanford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.